Well, here we are again. Another mass shooting in America, and this time in Maine, where the death and injury count adds to a year that's seen these attacks cost and impact more lives than ever before. Sure, thoughts and prayers do have their place, but so do answers. Answers that will, if not prevent the next slaughter, at least contain it as much as possible. Joining us now to look at all this is a former Miami detective, organized crime supervisor under Janet Reno, former personal security detail leader for Donald Rumsfeld. He's founder of Wayne Black & Associates, which is a security consulting firm. And he's also author of the book, School Insecurity, a comprehensive guide for parents and educators on school security, protecting your children, and fostering a safe learning environment. Wayne Black, thanks for being here today, Wayne.
Happy to be back with you. Thank you.
WayneBlack.com. Learn more about his security consultation and the services he provides. Want to start by placing you back in your detective shoes, as if you probably never really took them off, given your current occupation. But when you saw that photo of the shooter entering the bowling alley, as a detective, what did that photo tell you?
Well, I thought, I was surprised and taken back. I thought, this is really going to be bad. By the way he held the firearm and the way he moved, told me that he knew what he was doing. He has an ACOG scope on there, which is really effective, out probably 100 yards, maybe 200 yards, depending on the shooter. And I knew it wasn't going to be good. But I've got more questions than answers for you, like, why was he only kept in for 2 weeks? And probably we're going to find out that the answer to that is because of insurance. They wouldn't keep him, or they had a bed problem or something like that. And then my second bigger question is, he threatened a military base, threatened to shoot up a military base. Why wasn't he charged and put in the system and maybe got some help? And then the third question is, Maine has what we call a yellow flag law, which is similar to a red flag law. When he had contact with the police because of these threats and these voices and all the rest, why didn't they collect up his firearms and hold them during the time of a psychiatric evaluation?
You have to think, too, and again, this goes back into, in part of what you write about with your book as well, School Insecurity. He was able to get to two locations not that close to each other, and sure, you could say that the town is a small town, still a 40,000 population town. You would think the police response time could have been, not should have been, but probably or could have been a little more effective than it was.
Well, you know, the response time doesn't start when he pulls the trigger.
No, that's true.
It starts when the first person calls 911. So I predict there was probably a couple minutes, maybe more, when people were running and afraid. And remember, with that shooting inside, you go into audio shock. So you can't hear. You've got serious pains in your ear. You hold your breath. You lose peripheral vision. The fog of war. So I predict that the call was probably 5 or 6 minutes after the shooting started.
Again, as a detective, as the case unfolds and you learn about his background, his experience in the military as a firearms trainer, the planning that you can see even in the early stages of investigation that went into this, where does that place your mind as far as priorities? Above and beyond the obvious, if you want to catch him, yes.
Yeah, well, it's the perfect storm, isn't it? There's a trained guy with a weapon that he knows about, and he randomly goes from one place to the other. So police were responding to the first area of the shooting when he was already shooting at the second location. And like you said, there aren't that many police officers up there, so it's tough. The whole thing is just terrible. But I think it's like the Parkland school shooting and maybe Uvalde. What did we know before this happened? And that'll shake out. What did we know about him? And how many times was he interviewed? And why didn't the police or the FBI or somebody follow up and grab those guns that he bought legally before this, so that he didn't have them at the time while he was under psychiatric evaluation?
And we should say, too, just to point out the difference, since we're based here in New Jersey where the gun laws are certainly strict, it's pretty much to the opposite side when you look at the gun laws and the gun purchasing process in Maine. So adding to Wayne's calling it a perfect storm, that just added another cloud to that storm. For people in the here and now, and in light of what we see going on in Israel, are we at a time now in America where we have to start thinking like they do in Israel? We go into a public place, whether it's a restaurant, a bowling alley, a school, or a church, and almost on the spot, we have to come up with a plan in our minds of what are we going to do if something bad happens when we're in here?
Well, we should have a plan. With a shopping mall, a church, a school, a movie theater, we should have a plan. The side with the best plan wins, and it's really that simple. So it's just a matter of planning, cognitive training. What are you going to do if you're in a theater and somebody walks in with a gun? Now, schools, it shouldn't happen. Those schools should be locked down tight after the kids get in. As I mentioned in my book, I put my assessment checklist in the book. There should be only one or two entries to a school, and that should be monitored by an adult, hopefully a school resource officer that's armed. So if we have to go to guns inside of a school, we're in that last 2% of survival.
We're talking with Wayne Black, author of the book School Insecurity, a comprehensive guide for parents and educators on school security, protecting your children, and fostering a safe learning environment. He's also the founder of Wayne Black & Associates, website wayneblack.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning into the school system, because like it or not, when the shooting that we see in Maine, the many others before it, that encourages one person. I mean, you can always say we're going to get to other people who are troubled and stop them, but it only takes one to make what we saw happen in Maine, Uvalde, Sandy Hook happen. What is it that parents need to be looking at for their schools right now? What questions should they be asking? Because that's we've seen schools, that's a primary target, because the shooter knows it's almost like the old axiom in baseball. You want to be a success in baseball, hit them where they ain't. You want to be a success as a mass shooter, go where the guns ain't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Shooters want to succeed, so they're going to shy away from a gun-free zone. I mean, they're going to be attracted to a gun-free zone and shy away from one that's a hard target. So what should parents do? They should ask their school boards and principals, what are you doing to protect my child? And as I travel around the country, it's all over the map. Colorado is wide open. Texas and Florida are tight. Everybody else is someplace in between. And they should ask the school board, what are you doing to protect my child? We can protect a sporting event. We can protect the president of the United States. And we sure as heck should be able to protect children in schools. So, again, the checklist is in the book. It's a guidebook. Ask those questions. There's even a sample letter in the book that you can fill in the spaces of the school board and ask them what they're doing and send it to them. Put them on notice. And if they don't do it, if you don't think they're protecting your child, then run for school board, vote them, get them out of there, homeschool, put your kid in a private school, but do something. Don't just sit back and wait and have what we call a false positive insecurity. That is to say, just because nothing's happened at our school, we think what we're doing is correct. And I'm really concerned about the southern border.
Why is that?
Well, look at the statistics, the millions of people that have got in, the thousands of people that have done something wrong, the hundreds of known terrorists. Now, these are guys that weren't smart enough not to get caught. Think of the terrorists that have come in. And then when you couple that with all the pro-Hamas marches, pro-Palestinian marches across the country, I think it's just a matter of time. And these aren't going to be onesies and twosies if we have another 9/11-style attack. But they're here. It's our fault that they're here. We've allowed them to violate the law. We've violated the law by allowing them to come in. And now we're going to have to pay the consequences.
Go back to schools just to wrap this up. Is putting this on the side of the school instead of the parents. Should the school have a single designated person? You're the one that's going to be to lead the effort. You're the one that's going to be the one to answer questions. And if something should foul up, you're going to be the one to take responsibility, because we have these boards and committees and open hearings where people just point fingers and ask for thoughts and prayers in the aftermath.
Yeah, those committees make me crazy. Anybody in my business, it's just the opposite. The committees do not work. Schools need a single person, like you said, preferably a retired law enforcement officer, a current SRO, or a current law enforcement officer that handles everything related to security. Security is not something that can be done by consensus at a committee. It doesn't work. We, in my business, we wouldn't dream of doing a curriculum for a school. And school teachers shouldn't, and principals and board members should not dream of knowing how to secure a school. It doesn't work.
This is why the services that Wayne provides through his company, Wayne Black & Associates, is valuable, because he writes about schools and school insecurity, but their idea is as well that every business, I guess now we have to add bowling alleys to the places where we have to worry about our safety in light of what we've seen take place this past week in Maine. Just have to accept the fact that it can happen anywhere at any time. I made the analogy before of what is it like to live in Israel? Maybe we're finding out exactly what it's like to live in Israel. His book, again, School Insecurity, A Comprehensive Guide for Parents and Educators on School Security, Protecting Your Children, Fostering a Safe Learning Environment. Wayne Black & Associates website, wayneblack.com. Wayne, thanks so much for the awareness that you, like it or not, make us be aware of, because it's important. Without that awareness, we just leave the door open for another mass shooting, and instead we can at least reduce the impact, if not eliminate it. Thanks for the work that you do.
Thank you, sir, for having me.